We're continuing with our look at Gan Emunah, the Garden of Faith by Rav Shalom Arash, looking in the Hebrew version of the book, and we're on page 45. So at this point, Rav Arash is telling us, teaching us, that a person is only going to grow, is only going to move in life if he's searching for the truth. A person has to be searching for the truth. Right, Akiva? Searching for the truth? Or are you looking for something else?
Searching for myself.
That's also true.
Searching for the truth.
If you find it, it's true. It should be much clearer.
It's good. It's okay.
So a person needs to search for the truth. So,
Rabbi, find out the truth?
So if you list, you want to stay, you can find out how you get to the truth. Where's the chavruta?
There, but you can give me the truth real quick.
I'll try and give you the truth real quick. So, the question, how do I know if I'm finding the truth? Right? Everyone needs to look for the truth. But there's a lot of truth in this world, apparently. I don't know if I'm finding the right truth. Sitting here, listening to the words of Rav Arash, is that true? Maybe.
Of course.
Watching a baseball game and drinking beer, that's.
That's
the MS. That's where my life should be headed. But how do I know what truth is?
It's truth in everything.
There is truth in everything.
Everything
yes.
Is, everything has a partial truth.
Right, otherwise it couldn't exist. Even sheker has a minute part of truth in it, otherwise it couldn't exist. No such thing as complete sheker. Complete sheker wouldn't exist.
There is some truth to baseball.
So there is some truth to baseball, a very small truth. Not one you would want to hang your life on, hopefully.
The truth about it is the beer.
Is the beer. Okay, so there's lots to discuss over there. But let's see what Rav Arash is. So it's like there's two ways. Derech. There's a negative proof. We're going to say it outside, isn't it? Because you're here, and if I read it, there's two ways. There's a negative proof. No, there's a negative proof, and there's a positive proof. What's a negative proof? A negative proof runs like this. Scientifically, some things, cannot be proven positively. They can only be proven negatively, meaning that you exclude all other possibilities. And when you exclude every single other possibility, you're only left with one. And even though you can't prove that one you can't disprove. And you disprove, but you can cancel out all other possibilities. So you rely on that as the answer. Right? Science uses it all the time. So as a scientific proof, as accepted, it's called the negative proof. Proof proving by the negative. That there can't be any other explanation, apart from this explanation, and that is how I come to the truth. So that way also works with truth that we're talking about. How to find the truth. In this case, let's say the ultimate truth. Is there God? Does he exist? Etc. That truth. So God can't be proven. There's no positive way to prove God. However, through the negative proof, if you look at everything, all the evidence around you, and you take all the evidence, and you try to explain the phenomenon of the world by looking at all other possibilities, you will find that there is no way of explaining this world other than God. There is no other way. It's called the negative proof that God exists. Right? It's a scientific way of proving it. It's called a negative proof. And it's official, and people rely on it, so why not rely on it here too? And it exists. If you look at the world, you will not find any other explanation that fits the facts other than God. God is the only one that you're left with, even though you can't positively prove, certainly from that method anyway. So, that's one way of proving God, the negative way. Look for any other reason, you'll see it doesn't exist. There's no other explanations available. What's the, that, it's still, it's okay, it has value, but it still doesn't, it's not the best thing in the world. What I want is some positive proof. So how do I? Is it possible to have positive proof of God's existence? So the answer is yes. Baruch Hashem, it is. There is a positive way. What's that? So, simply speaking, positive way is prayer. Is prayer. Via prayer, I ask Him for the proof. I pray for something, and it happens. And that proves my hypothesis. Like any hypothesis, you make an exact, you make a test, you make an experiment, and if that you make your rules of experiment, I'm going to do A and B and put A and B together, and if A and B results in C, then that's proved it. If C comes out, it's the same thing. I'm going to pray to Hashem and ask for something, and if that something comes about, then that's proof. And that's it, simply. But let's look at it in more detail. In more detail, what we're saying is this. Although Hashem is hidden, Dafka, He's hidden. He's hidden deliberately. There's no point in being obvious, otherwise we wouldn't be alive. Right? We're alive because He's hidden. Because He's hidden, it means that we have free choice. Without free choice, there's no point having an existence. Not in our bodies, right? Existence without free choice is called being an angel. Hashem's got lots of angels. They know of His existence and they do a very good job, but they're not human. They don't have any free choice. They're not. He's got lots of angels and He can have many more, but He doesn't want that. He wants us who get to choose. That's why He has to be hidden, so that we can choose. As soon as He reveals Himself, game over, right? Which is why in Yemot HaMashiach, which might be this afternoon, who knows, first night Hanukkah, why not, right? Or Shabbos Hanukkah, according to the messages on the internet. But Tov, but
what's this?
Right, that Zohar that we learned last week. That Zohar that we learned last week suggests that maybe this Shabbos Hanukkah is a major time of case. So anyway, so when that happens, everything changes. Not initially, you have to have 12 months of war and whatever. But at the end of that period of Mashiach, when we get the revelation, so then Hashem is obvious to everyone. And then the rules change, right? Then we're no longer getting reward for believing in Hashem. It's like obvious, right? Then we have a different job to do. But the first 6,000 plus years of creation, where we're still trying to choose between Hashem and not Hashem. So then that our reward is when we choose Him. So He has to be hidden. However, He can't be so hidden that we can never find Him, that we can never get in touch with Him, we can never know. Otherwise, it's also not a fair game, right? It has to. So what's the answer? The answer is it's both. He is hidden until a person tries to find Him. When a person tries to find Him, then Hashem reciprocates. How does He reciprocate? How am I going to know? Is the hand going to come out of heaven and wave at me and say, "You're right, I'm here," right? But it doesn't have to be out of heaven. Come out of the cup. He's everywhere, right? Not necessarily. If He does, go and speak to your local rabbi, right? If that happens to you. But Hashem will speak to each of us in our own way. Hashem will speak to each of us in our own way, so that we know He exists, according to each of us. How's that best work? It best works by a person asking Hashem to show Himself. A person speaks to Hashem in his own words. Close the siddur, you don't need a book. You need yourself and a quiet room. You need yourself and a walk through the park. Wherever you've got some peace, quiet, no one bothering you, phones off. You speak to Hashem, say, Hashem. According to what I learned in Yeshiva today, according to what Rabbi Arish says, and according to what Rabbi Nachman says, and according to what Olo Gadolin said, that you're prepared to reveal yourself to me. Apparently, that you are. I haven't seen you yet. I've seen you a little bit. But they say that if I ask you, you're going to show yourself. So, I'm waiting. I'd like to see it. And I ask Hashem to show Himself. So what's going to happen? Hashem is going to reciprocate. But mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Depends on how much I invest in it. If I invest in it, a 4.5 second prayer. Hashem, please reveal yourself to me. Thanks very much. I'm waiting. Let me know. Okay? Thanks. Bye. Anyway, and then I get back on the phone. So, measure for measure. Actually, everyone's going to respond to me, but it's going to be very fleeting. And I went, what? Oh, could be. Maybe I just, I don't know, something happened that little. But if I spend a genuine amount of time with genuine truth, Hashem, like, I really do need to know that you exist, because it's important for my, it's important that I can get close to you, that I can work on my Avodat Hashem, that I can pray, that I can grow. I need to have some. And if I feel it, the more I pour into that, the more I'm going to get back. Hashem can show me back in a message that's just for me. And it'll be a message that's just something that I can't even explain to anyone. It's not going to be like an SMS that says to Moshe, you were right, I am here, thanks God, right? And then I can look, hey guys, guess what happened to me? Look what Hashem sent me, an SMS. No, it's going to be something that only I know that was relevant for me. And if I could try and explain it to someone, it would be like, yeah, right? Because it's a personal thing for me. It's not something that for me to wave a flag that Hashem came to me and look, I can show you, and here's the proof. He signed my autograph book for me, right? It's a personal thing. So I can, there's two ways of doing it, practically speaking. One can say, Hashem, just reveal it, show me a sign that I know is from you and can't be from anyone else. I'm not going to make a mistake and think that it's just a random thing. I want to know it's from you. The more I put into that, if I speak to him for a half an hour, an hour, if I speak to him for a week, I can't do an hour prayer. That's just for those weird guys with the long prayers. I can't do an hour. Right? But I can do 5 minutes. And I do 5 minutes every day until you show yourself to me, Hashem. Until you reveal yourself. That's also good. Or he says, pick something. If that's a bit too esoteric, that's a bit too open-ended. I don't know what's going to come out of left field if I ask for that. I'm a bit worried about asking something so open. So ask specific. Take a problem that you've been dealing with for a long time, a short time, but a problem which cannot be solved derech hateva, cannot be solved in any natural way. Dafka, if it can be solved in a natural way, let's say you've got a job interview and you really want that job. So there's no point picking that, because if you get the job, so you're going to say, well, it could have happened anyway. You're not going to realize it was him. So pick something that you know is not going to, there's no way of fixing it as far as you can tell. Pick that thing, say, Hashem, show me in that thing, because when he fixes that, or when he does something to help fix it, or might not clean it up completely, depends what, how much you put into it. But he's going to do something on that. Let's say, I don't know, I've got debts, or I've got not good, shall I buy it, or I haven't spoken to my brother's cousin's sister's dog for the last 42 years. What, something, right? And say, Hashem, please fix that. And then I get a phone call from the brother's mother's sister's dog 2 days later. I'm going to know that was from you, because that wasn't on the cards. It's still going to be possible. It always has to be the option of me not seeing God. So it could always be that the brother's sister's dog's mother's cousin was going to call me anyway and coincidentally call me 3 minutes after I stopped praying on it. Could be. Hashem always gives me the opportunity to choose both ways. Right? I always need to have that free choice. Even in the prayer that I'm going to ask for, that he's going to show me, right? The, what was that film? Top.
Spaceballs.
No, not thinking of that film. I'm thinking of the film with the, Hashem, I can't remember names of the films, I can't remember the actors. He's driving down the highway, he said, Hashem, show me, tell me. God, he said, didn't say Hashem, it was a secular film. Right? He was a Jewish guy playing the role though. Steve Martin in whatever he was playing. He's God, show me you exist. And the billboard stopped flashing up in bright lights. I'm here, you idiot, I'm here. Right? And he's driving down the road. Right? So it's not going to come in that way. And he's still missing it. It's like, no. But if we ask for it, he's going to show himself to us. And it's good if we pick something, we can just ask for a sign anyway. Right? Rav Nachman did it. Rav Nachman writes about three signs that he asks Hashem when he was to reveal himself. Right? There were three major signs. You don't want to be Rav Nachman. The three signs were, there was a big pest or a big idol. He said, I want you to knock the idol over, Hashem. Fell over. He said he was in a boat. He said, Hashem, I'm going to put my fish out, my hand out like this, and I want a fish to jump into it. And it did. You have to grab Nachman, right? The top, my Nachman's boat. And the third one, he said, I want to see somebody come back. I want to see a dead spirit. And he did, and he told him to take it away after he did. Right? Rav Arish says in his memoirs, when he was about Shiva, before he'd even heard of Breslov or whatever, he worked out God himself. Rav Arish, right, so he worked out God himself, basically, after he was a medic in the army, and his whole group of friends died in a helicopter crash. One of the helicopter crash, and 10, 11 people died in it, and most of them were his. And he said, one afternoon he went to 5 funerals, back to back. And he came home, back to his dira, back to his flat, sat down, so he didn't feel anything. And that's what made him make teshuva. The fact that this is not, why am I not feeling anything? My 5 of my best friends, I've just been to their funeral, and I'm not. So he said from that he started, that there must be a purpose to life. Life can't just be that you die and that's it, and there's nothing going on. And he started searching. And then he said to Hashem, right, I now realize that you must exist. So I want you to prove it to me. And you see, he explains in certainly one of the books, that he did it by test. He was, at the time, he was a student in university. And he said, on this next paper, I'm not going to learn for it. And I want you to give me the answers to the questions. And he walked into the test without learning, and he came out with skydit. He said he did 3, he tested him, he said he's right, saying to be tested him 3 times, and after that he stopped testing him. Right, okay, you know, right. But we can, it's not a chilul Hashem. Hashem wants us, if we're genuine, Hashem's very happy. The question is more on us, that we're unlikely to ask the question because we're too afraid of the answer. Right? Because if he does show himself, well, that brings with it a whole load of obligation. It's not simple. It's consequences. I can't carry on with a lot of the nonsense in my life. So I might not want to ask that question. Right? I should be aware of my own Yetzirah. That said, that relax, let's not get too crazy here, let's not too, right? It's going to push me down. Don't go there yet. Later, you'll get to that place. Right now, just relax, drink your coffee, don't go too fast, don't, right? Because Yetzirah for sure doesn't want us to find Hashem. Not in that way. So that's why it could be very scary to say, Hashem, reveal yourself to me. Right? We're not going to do that. But Hashem, help me fix a problem. Top. So now I've got a Yetzirah that I wanted that problem fixed anyway. So that I'm prepared to throw into the pot. Okay, you deal with that problem, and then I'll start to believe in you. I've also seen it written that the first time you ask, you basically get it for free. Right? After, what happens is, you say to Hashem, I really haven't spoken to my great aunt Nellie in 15 years. She has been boigus with me, and I'd really love to speak to her. I'm very sorry. Can you sort it out? And then you get a phone call. Right? 3 minutes later or next week from great aunt Nellie. And everything's great. And all you did was like 5 minutes of asking. Because that was a freebie. Right? You get that one. That led you. That led you. And now, when you want something, you can't just ask. It's not like a supermarket. Hashem, and by the way, sort out the phone bill for me, and sort out my kids who are just like annoying me, and I can't know what to do with them, and sort out my marriage. And it's not I have to work after that. I'm gonna have to work. It's gonna be a lot harder again through prayer, but a lot more prayer and a lot more personal self investment. But at the beginning, we get a bit of a free ride. Because Hashem knows that we don't have the ability to stand there like a Chiloni guy who just realizes that Hashem exists. You can't stand there for an hour praying his heart out to Hashem. No, for 5 minutes he can, right? So the beginning of Kilu measure goes easy. So pick something and pray on it. Why not? Got nothing to lose. Apart from lose all our nonsense. Right, we've got everything to lose and lots more to gain. Right, it means to put behind us. But that's the positive proof. There is a positive proof of Hashem's existence. It's not something that I can share with anyone else. And when that happens to you, the great Auntie Nelly does call. It really doesn't make such a good story. I was really praying on my great Auntie Nelly that she called me, and then she called me. It's not going to convince anyone else. I can't go around the streets with a banner and everybody's going to flock to me and flock to Hashem. Right? But for me, it was really important. It was really enough. I know that came from you. Because I know I prayed on it. And I know that that wasn't going to change. And I know that you changed it. So for me, it really was important. And that's Hashem's proof. It's an individual proof. Right? Because it's not a proof, it's not designed, the system is not designed that we can write a book of proofs that everybody will just read it and then believe in Hashem. Everyone has to make their own pathway to Hashem. It's my own merit, so to speak, it's my own effort. I can't take a free ride on the back of someone else's miracle.
Well, what about without the overt prayer, and when you just see the hand of God in things in your life without necessarily asking for this, that, or the other, and you see, you know, the hand of God in things, are you equating those two kind of situations, or there's a distinction?
I believe it has more power when I've prayed on it. If I pray on it and then it happens, it shows me that Hashem is listening to me. I've now got that one-on-one relationship. Right? That's a lot more powerful to have a one-on-one relationship than for me to be kind of watching from the sidelines and appreciating Him from where I'm watching it on TV. I see you're existing in the world. I see you're doing everything, and you're really great, and I really admire you, and that's great. But as between you and me, I don't know, if you see me, I see you. Well, I see you, but you just, right? But if I ask and He replies, then we is linked, the two of us. That's now a difference. It's different relationship. I know that he cares for me, and He loves me, and He's watching me, and He's listening to me. Right? That's very valuable. Understand. So,
there's an expansion that takes place within the Jewish people. We're talking about God. I'm going to pray and I want to see God somehow and have a relationship with Him. But as part of the Jewish people,
yeah,
I think that every day that we survive, because we have so many violent enemies who want to take care of us, but we just miraculously, every day, keep on going, no matter what, producing, being productive, helping humanity, helping our families, helping ourselves. There is a relationship between us and God, between Jewish people and God.
For sure.
Now, how do I bring that down to me? That's the harder part. You know, I can see the.
I don't need to.
I can see the.
What we're saying here is I don't need to. You're right. I'm part of the global situation, but so are 13 million Jews are also part of that, and the vast majority, unfortunately, don't see God. Even though they could, they don't for whatever reason. But you're right that I can see God as the fact that I'm a Jew and the t-shirts that they have in Ben Yehuda about, you know, the Romans, the Babylonian, they're all cross, Jew, we're still here, right? So that has some meaning, but again, on a personal level, my job, once I've got to that level, is not just leave it on a national, global level. I'm just one of the... Hashem wants a one-on-one relationship with me. That's why He created prayer. Right? So I have a one-on-one relationship. And if I... Why is that important? Because it strengthens my avodah. If I'm just one of the many, one of the masses, I can get lost very easily. Hashem doesn't really see me. He's not really caring about what I'm doing personally. It also means I can get away with a lot more. Right? No one's looking at me specifically. Hashem loves the Jewish people. He's looking at the Jews as a whole. He's not looking at me right now, right? And whatever else I'm doing, but if I'm connecting with him directly one on one, then I get the personal hashgacha pratit. I get the fact that he is looking at me. Yes, you. Yes, me. Yes, you. Right now, yes. He's seeing what you're doing. Yes. He cares what you're doing. Yes. He's listening to every word. Yes. That's a very powerful motivator for good and to do good and to stay away from bad that an individual has, if he believes, really believes, that he's got a one-on-one relationship with Hashem. But a lot of Jews don't. They understand what you said, that globally the Jewish people have a covenant with Hashem. Bad for me? Right? And it's a false humility, because it means that I can just get away with whatever I want to get with. Basically, it's a way out. It's a way of hiding. I can hide in the mass. No one sees me individually.
In our tefillahs, like in Amidah and so forth, it is in the plural. You know, it's stated in the plural.
Right.
And we can add on our individual things, but the text of it is more or less in the plural.
Nachum. So, Tom, there are different reasons for that, why that's in the plural. When we're playing as one with one prayer, there is a benefit to Achdut, to the majority, that a person doesn't stand out from the crowd. When we're praying together as a unit, but personal prayer is also a separate item. It's not the same thing. Personal prayer is a time when we have our one-on-one relationship. We need both. We need to be part of the Jewish people and have our daily three prayers where we're all together and we are part of Am Yisrael. And we also have a part of us which is very individual and needs to have individual existence. We need to have a role to play within the Jewish people. Shabbat Hashem. We all have a Hanukkah Sameach.